welcome to Marriage and Martinis. I'm Ron, and this is Linda.
Yep. Hi.
A little closer to the mic.
Hi.
There
hi.
You go. Very good.
Hi. Hi.
Hi, guys.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Marriage and Martinis. As you've just been introduced, that was Ron and Linda, Danielle's parents, and Everybody knows Linda.
Everybody knows Linda now. If you don't know Linda, you're obviously not following me on Instagram. Although we talk about her on the podcast too, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Of course.
I'm an equal opportunity discussion.
So are you guys excited to be here? Are you nervous? How are you feeling?
We're very excited to be on a nationally high-ranked podcast.
Yeah, right.
Have either of you spoken into a mic before?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I figured.
Where, for you, Dad, where did you speak into a mic?
Oh, over the years on just various times I had to speak before an audience.
Oh, but not like on a radio show.
Oh, no. Oh, yes, I was actually on a radio show.
Ooh, let's hear this.
Once, talking about... A medical-related topic.
That's kind of what I assumed. This is going to be tough. By the way, Danielle and I are sharing a mic. This is a little difficult. We're very...
Yeah. We're very close.
Very close.
Closer than usual. So we wanted to have you guys on as our special Valentine's Day episode. Aww. Because... Well, first of all, because I think now people are sort of interested about you and how you created this phenomenal human being that is
exactly
speaking right now. Right. But also because you've been married for how many years? 50 what?
Well, it's almost 55. In August.
Is everybody ready for the episode yet? Or?
Wait, it's just interesting to deal with like two people who can barely use an iPhone and now they're like using podcast equipment. All right, so go ahead, Mom. In August, it will be...
In August, it'll be 55 years, and it's really amazing that we made it and everything.
All right, so I want to get a little bit of background, just briefly, about both of you, where you were born, and you know a little bit about your history, just to give everybody a sense of where you came from. So, Ma, why don't you go first, and then Dad will go.
Okay. Well, I was raised in Ewing Township in New Jersey, and what else?
So that was your upbringing. That's very, right. Very good.
Very helpful.
And
thank
I was
you.
Upbrought there.
So yeah, no, you were raised in Ewing, New Jersey, and I mean, it was a small town, right?
A small town. Yes, and they were the olden days. They were when we had black and white TVs. I can
did you have TV, or did you? Was there a time when you didn't have a
there
TV?
There was time when I didn't have a TV, that's but right. I think it was about 5 when we got one, and it was black and white, and I was totally confused about where the people were coming from.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there weren't many channels. There weren't many... programs. There was like Kukla, Fran, and Ollie.
Howdy Doody, of course, right?
Oh, we loved that Howdy was my Doody.
Howdy yeah. Doody.
Really? You knew Howdy Doody?
My dad spoke about Howdy Doody all the time.
5:30 every evening, Monday through Friday. You had to be in your seat in front of the TV.
Oh my gosh. All right, so you guys are, so Dad, go ahead. You tell a little bit about, so you were.
Well, I was born in Trenton also.
Trenton, New Jersey.
And grew up in Trenton, went to school in Trenton, and then went from high school to college. I went to Franklin & Marshall College in Lancaster. After that, I went to medical school at the University of Pennsylvania, and after that, we spent a
Wait, we're going to get to all that. Hold on, we're going to get to all that. You're jumping right. ahead.
Okay. Yeah.
You're jumping ahead.
No.
Yeah. I have to tell you what happened. We met, I was 15, and so I was taking biology, and all of a sudden my biology teacher said I was doing so much better. He was so proud of me. And I said, well, I changed boyfriends. So of course he was very impressed by that.
Yeah, I want to talk about how you first met, but I also want to just talk about, so you guys are not baby boomers, you're before baby boomers.
Yeah.
Okay, because right. So what do you know, like, is your generation have a name? Because you were born in, Dad, you were born in 42, Ma, you were born in 44.
Mm-hmm. I think we were Generation X.
Yeah?
I thought that was
No, Gen X is now. Gen X is like us.
We're
Gen X.
We're half X, half millennial kind of. So X is early 70s, late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah. Right.
So definitely not X. I don't even know.
We were before the baby boomers.
But after the Greatest Generation.
What's the Greatest Generation?
That's right. So that's our parents, because that was the war.
World War II.
World War II, and they got us through World War II. And I was born at the... He was born at the beginning of World War II, and I was born at the end of World War II.
Hmm.
Yep.
Okay, so you both grew up in... I know Ewing and Trenton are like towns right next to each other. And that's important, because I think... One of the greatest differences of when you were younger from when we were younger, and especially now is even more, is that your selection of who you were going to date was basically like in a 10-mile radius of your house, right? Because there was no way to meet anybody. You know, you go online, or even when we were dating, you know, you could go take a train into the city, but you guys were really limited in who you met. So... Basically, everybody back then was just dating in this pool of people who were in either their town or the town next to them, right? Nobody was, you know, there was no long-term, long-distance relationships.
Probably within a 10-mile radius. That was the population that you had some access to fairly easily.
And more people in our towns ended up marrying each other than you would think. But many people went to college. You know, that was when we were really starting to go to college. And girls were really just starting to go to college. And then we would meet people from other parts of the country. But Ronnie and I were already going together when I was 15 and he was 17.
And that was pretty standard, right? That wasn't like, you guys weren't super young compared to other couples who were together.
No, except that we did last.
Right.
So far.
55 years.
So far.
Yeah, we did
55 years and strong. We'll see how it goes for the next.
We did have a fight before we came here, and we thought we might have to change the title to divorce after 55 years of marriage.
All right, well, the ratings will only go up from there.
Part two, that's
part
all.
Part two.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you when you were dating, when you first met, tell the story a little bit about how you first met.
Okay, this is
well, we first met at actually a youth group function in Ewing, and it was an outdoor party of the youth group. We did some dancing, and that actually is the first time, as far as we're aware, that we met. And I must say that the first time I looked at Linda and saw her, I was hooked right then.
Oh,
it was,
that's so sweet.
It was a special. Special time. But in any event, we did some dancing. We talked a bit, but not a whole lot. And I don't know that I even learned what her name was at that time. The party ended. I kind of put that meeting in the back of my mind, hoping that perhaps we could meet again at some point. Well, that actually happened about, what was it, a month or two later, where I went to someone's birthday party. I went with a friend of mine who was actually invited to the party. I was not. And as it turned out, Linda went with a friend of hers to that party, who was and that person was invited, and Linda was not. And at that party, I can picture this. I saw her and recognized her. I don't know, Linda, if you recognized me, but I think you did, because and she was coming down with her friend down a couple of a small flight of steps, and we got into a conversation, and somehow it turned that the girls were interested in going bowling.
No, you were going bowling.
We were going. I don't think so.
I know. Yes, you and David were going bowling, and I grabbed you and said, "Can we go too?"
All right. Okay. I stand corrected then.
I guess I was attracted, although I was really going out with another guy who was in college.
Oh.
But I must have been attracted because I said, "Can we go too?"
Yes.
And I grabbed my girlfriend and I said, "We're going bowling."
We did.
And did she start dating Dad's friend?
No.
It didn't work out.
No.
Oh. Yeah.
No,
she
didn't. It's a shame.
And Dad, did you drive? Like, did you drive them bowling, or?
Yeah, I was driving at the time, and yes, so we went bowling. The rest is history.
Wow, yeah.
And your history.
So when you guys were when you started dating, Mom, a lot of times you talked to me about you had all these other boyfriends and stuff before Dad. Dad, you were kind of shy and everything. I think anybody who knows you guys pretty well, and I think they'll get a sense of that as we keep talking and everything. You are. I mean, it is a little bit of that the stereotypical opposites attract.
Wait, I'm sorry. So you said that Linda was dating. Your mother was dating before she met your dad. Didn't you just say before that you were together at 17 or 16?
Right.
15? Right. So you were dating way before?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I started at 3.
You were boy crazy, right?
I really was.
That's impressive. I'm
very
wow.
boy crazy. And I had at least 1 to 3 boyfriends from the time I was 3 to 15.
At a time. 1 to 3 boyfriends at a time.
Yes.
Okay. Different times. Wow.
But Dad, you were pretty shy, right? So when you guys first met, I mean, it really took you some courage to talk to her and everything because you were a shy kid. And she, Mom, I mean, for all intents and purposes, you were like a popular girl, right? And you were with the, I don't know, were you with like the fast crowd?
No.
What we called the quote unquote fast crowd?
No.
No, you weren't.
No. No, the
fast crowd back then was like the bad kids, right? Like the kids who were like,
"What? No."
Oh, so you weren't.
I was the only bad one in my crowd, and that's where you get it from. I hate to tell you,
it's true.
I do.
All right, so tell me about your first date, other than bowling, just the two of you.
Oh God, we went to the movies. Oh, we went to eat first. And we went to the movies, and Daddy kept scratching all over his body. And I thought something was wrong with him. And so we got home, and he rang the doorbell. My father answers the door in his underwear.
Like your dad.
Yes.
Yeah, same thing. They were both like under, yeah. Adam's dad used to do that.
God.
Yeah, so we when we lived at my parents' house for a couple months, right, in between moves, and he would just walk around the house in his underwear.
My grandfather used to do that too. Yeah, all right, yeah.
And then he used to wear his underwear.
Yeah, I used to wear his underwear.
Not my dad, your grandfather.
No, my grandfather. Yes. I used to wear his when boxer shorts were cool. All right, so go ahead, Ma.
So he came and he asked he showed my father, and he had these. You had these bumps all over your body.
I had hives all over. I had strawberries for dinner that
yeah,
night.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I think he was
well,
nervous.
Well, you know, that's,
I think
there is
nervous.
Something to that. That's what I attributed to it. But today I can eat strawberries without any problem. Yeah. So maybe it was.
Because you know me now.
Maybe it was.
When he told
nervous.
Me I ate shrimp, and that's why I had the rash at the Cove Haven.
The apple does not fall far right. from the tree. Okay.
He blames everything on allergies. All right, go ahead. So, yeah, so he comes to the door.
No. So we found out. I found out that he was normal, at least, because he kept scratching all the time we're at the movie. And we saw A Summer Place, and that became our movie and our song. That's the song we danced to at our wedding.
Oh, wow. I don't know that. Can you give us a little bit of the song? That was wonderful.
Percy Faith was the orchestra.
Yeah.
All right.
I know the song very well because I know it was your song.
Yes.
And yeah.
It's from the movie.
Okay, so you went out to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and your parents' mom, Bubby and Zeta, who are my grandparents, they must have been like thrilled that you were dating this boy.
My mother.
Was she so thrilled?
So one
she like probably wanted to plan their wedding right there, like 15 and all. She didn't care.
Get him. Absolutely. And so one time Daddy and I had a fight, and I told my mother, and she told me he was too good for me.
Wait, do you have any idea what the fight was? Do you remember? I would love to hear if you can remember.
It was
probably about money.
Too hard, don't think.
She's
very good. She can remember in detail, so I'd be surprised if she didn't know this. But it's like the person who was talking to his friend, and he said, when we have an argument, my wife gets historical.
Is that right?
And the friend says, you mean hysterical? No, I mean historical. She can remember every fight in detail for the past 30 years.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, so you guys started dating. And back then, I think it was a little bit better when I was growing up and Adam was growing up. And now I think it's getting, but basically you, I mean, had you not, you're both Jewish. Had you not brought home a Jewish boy or girl, that would have been a big deal, right? That would have been like, how would your parents have reacted to that? You probably didn't even think about dating somebody who wasn't Jewish.
Oh, yes, I
that's,
did.
That's, you did?
Oh, yes, I dated a lot.
Is that,
of,
what
no,
was his name, Edgar? Just, what was
no,
his name?
Elwood.
Elwood,
oh,
right.
Oh, God, if he ever hears this. I haven't talked to him in 50 years.
Did you search for him on Facebook?
Yeah.
Well, Elwood, if you're listening.
Yeah. No, she's taken. Don't
yeah,
no,
taken.
But the divorce episode is coming up.
Oh, right.
So
right,
she
right.
might be available.
Right, right. All right. So go ahead. So I'm interested in your reactions because, you know, I mean, I think by the time I was growing up and everything, it was better. Now I think it's you know, much different. But when you guys were younger, that wasn't even an option, right? I mean, it's for your parents to hear that you, like, and I think that's relatable probably to a lot of couples from when you were growing up. There was no, there wasn't a lot of mixing of religion or, you know, it was.
I think that with Daddy, it was more. I think that his parents were less flexible and they would have had a fit. With me, you know, I was borderline Presbyterian.
Now, in those days, it was what was termed a shanda. Mm-hmm. It was a shame. You were shamed if your children, God forbid, married out of the faith. And it was fairly uncommon, although certainly not rare. Today, it's very, very common.
Yeah. And people go off to college, and they meet people from all over. And there are... There are other things that are important, like are you in both interested in science or are your IQs similar? Are you sports, you know, very active?
Right. Do you agree politically, that kind of stuff?
Oh,
right.
Politically is a biggie.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's much different. Yeah, it's much different now, but I know that that back then. So you, not only was it that you had these guidelines of where you were living and everything because, you know, you couldn't go too far out of your town, but on top of that, you really needed to be in the same religion and probably the same race back then, you know, religion and race.
Definitely the
same
race.
So back then, so it was really like a much different... you know, it was a small pool of people, right, which is probably why for your generation, I don't know, is the divorce rate for their generation, is that a high divorce rate?
Well, you have to know that, that started with the baby boomers. When I was in college, I went out the back door and the baby boomers came in the front door and everything changed. And I was so jealous because I wanted to be a part of the rebellion.
Oh, you mean like Vietnam and everything?
Well, and, you know, like we had two phones for the whole dorm. Then they had a phone in each room. You know, they demanded things. We still had to wear, I still had to wear a dress to school.
In college?
In college. And by the time they graduated, they were all wearing jeans. And so you know, it became a very different world.
Okay, that's a great spot to take a break, and we'll be right back. There's only less than 2 weeks left till Valentine's Day, and how hard is it to shop for guys? I mean, Danielle, what do you ever get me for Valentine's Day or anything? Exactly. Well, I wish you would have known about Duke Cannon a while ago, because they're always innovating and always bringing out these awesome new products. They just partnered with Budweiser. Isn't that, I mean, they're a guys grooming company, uh-huh, and they just partnered with the most well-known beer company in America. So they have this new line, including their Great American Beer Soap. It's literally made with Budweiser, which is so cool, but don't worry, you're not going to smell like a frat house if you use it. It has an awesome, like, warm cedarwood scent. These things smell so good.
They really do.
I mean, not only that, but it's not just soap. They have their new solid cologne. They have a new beard balm, a new beer oil. And it's all made with Budweiser, which is really cool. So if you don't know what to get your guy for Valentine's Day, this is the company to look at. Go to DukeCannon.com, use promo code MARRIAGE, and you'll get 15% off your entire order. And always free shipping when you spend $35 or more. So go to DukeCannon.com, promo code MARRIAGE, for 15% off.
These happy cards that I recently found out about, they're fairly new, and they make so much sense because they take the guesswork out of gift giving by pairing your favorite people with their favorite brands. Happy Cards feature restaurants, retailers, and entertainment venues from the top gifting categories. This is the best retail around, all on one new type of gift card. It's the perfect fit every time. Happy Cards can be found wherever gift cards are sold. They're a line of bundled brand gift cards made especially for specific recipients or occasions, such as Happy Beauty, Happy Moments, Happy Teen. Happy Cards are redeemable at any of the stores or restaurants listed on the cards. We think Happy Cards are a perfect gift for your Valentine this year. Plan a fun dinner and movie date night together with Happy Moments, which includes Cheesecake Factory, Red Lobster, Regal Cinemas, and more. Or Happy You, which includes Cheesecake Factory, P.F. Chang's, AMC. A special gift for your wife, treat her to Happy Her, which includes Macy's, Ulta, Spa Finder, Sephora. I mean, you can, there's thousands.
Well, that's the best part about, this is why I love these Happy Cards. I hate getting a gift card to one place, which we never use. You have to make sure you use it only at that one place. And now I get to choose from a list of places that we can just have this one card for.
Absolutely.
And it does not go to waste. That's the best part.
All season long, please enjoy free shipping on all Happy Cards orders by visiting giftcards.com/happy or pick one up today at your local grocery store. So again, giftcards.com/happy for free shipping off all Happy Cards, and have a happy Valentine's Day with Happy Cards.
Yes, and in today's world, we need a different and better model every year, so that a new car with all its new gadgets, you've got a new up-to-date cell phone, a new iPad, everything, you got to keep changing to keep up with the times. And unfortunately, I think that may be part of the reason why divorce is so much higher. Marriage is a lifetime commitment, and that's a lot different than changing every year. So that particular way of as we look at things may contribute to the increased rate of divorce now compared to back when we were first married.
Well, was divorce even, was it an option that many years ago? Was divorce kind of a normal thing that was, I mean, like today, what is it, 50%+ of marriages end in divorce? Not that it's easy to do today with lawyers and the whole, you know, the fees and everything that happened. But was divorce a thing back then? Did people do it, even if they wanted to?
For our parents, it really wasn't a thing to
but
do.
People stayed together even if they didn't want
even
to.
Even if you were miserable.
Right. Yeah.
And
that's sad.
It was, and people really, you were a little shunned. Also, Mitch Albom wrote a book about divorce, and the mother was given no help by the neighbors or anything. But now I guess it's more accepted and it's different, and hopefully people help each other. But also, every couple that we met in those first few years that we were married are divorced.
Oh, really?
Well, not every couple.
Yeah, just no, wasn't that not fair. That we met after. Don't fight with me.
No, please keep going. This is great. This is great.
Well, that's what I think. I mean, I know now it's you know, divorce rate is pretty high. Also, because I think also there's a feeling of, listen, if you're in a relationship that isn't working for you, that you have this whole life, you know, you get one life and you want it to be the best it can be.
That's right.
But back when you were, you know, when you were growing up, I just feel like because the pool of people that you were meeting and everything was so small, that your options were so limited, that I feel like people probably were settling a lot of times for people that they didn't, you know, that maybe weren't really the lifelong partner that they wanted, especially considering, number one, that, like I said, you know, within religion, race, sexuality, all that stuff was so confined and so strict. Mm-hmm. So it made it harder, whereas, you know, today you have a lot more options. I mean, is there any part of you, this was a big question I had, So now today, obviously, I mean, Adam and I met the second time on JDate, the Jewish dating site that was online, that when it first, I mean, it was probably like, it was like fresh, you know, new, and we met this, not the first time.
Well, yeah, we were the only two people on JDate. Right, it was so new that we had no choice but to meet each other.
That's good.
I know you both love each other so much, that's not even a question in all of this, but is there any part of you that wishes back then that, you know, there had been, you know, JDate or Tinder available where you could have this option from all these, what?
Do they know what Tinder is?
Do you know what Tinder is? Swipe right?
Not me.
Oh, really? Okay. All right, so Tinder is a dating site where, wait, I don't even know if I know what it is.
I gotta have to step out of here while you explain to your parents.
I don't even know. No, because, no, you think it's worse than it is. That's, you're thinking of, like, Grindr. Tinder is, like, swipe right. It's, like, a big dating site. It's dating. So Tinder is basically, you know, it's people from all over your area and everything that you can go online. And there's, you know, it depends where you are. But if you're in New York City, there's hundreds of thousands of people and you can go and meet them and date and everything. And it's, you know, it's the way of today. So I almost wonder, and I know you're so happy to be married now. That's not even like that. I'm not asking, do you wish you had a different spouse because you had but do you wish back in the day that there was, like, you had had more options to meet people?
I think that's probably an advantage, but I'm not sorry that I didn't have it then. I'm happy.
Why? Can you explain why? Because, no, even if I know you're going to end up together no matter what, but what I'm saying is, as far as experiences go, because even I, as somebody who lived in New York City, you know, had access to the internet and whatever, you know, we got married when I was 24, and it was young, and there's part of me, and Adam knows this, I talk about it all the time, but there's part of me that is like, I sort of wish that I had had more options to experiment and, you know, have different experiences and stuff. That's
your own fault. We've said that before, because you were with your anxiety, with your everything. Like, You okay. were not willing to take those.
Absolutely. But what I'm saying to them is, and I don't know that my dad would have utilized this. I think my mom would have been like Tinder top three or something. but is there part of you that, you know, is jealous of yeah. what happens today with all the dating and everything? Okay.
All right. Well, let me tell you, I went to a co-ed school and so I didn't date. We went steady. I got a ring
steady.
First.
Right.
Did you get his pin?
And then I got his fraternity pin.
Okay, sorry, I know.
Yes, and if I had to do it over again, I would date. I would have a normal, you know, we didn't see each other except maybe once a month. And, you know, we didn't have phones like you have phones. We didn't have texting. We spoke once a week, and it was expensive. Mm-hmm. So I think I would have dated. Now, Ronnie went to an all-boys school. There were many more boys' school, men's school, than there were women's schools. You know, there was Harvard, and then it was like almost Harvard, you know, like for girls. And it was very different, but he went in Lancaster, and so it was all boys and cows. Because, he, you know, like you talk about choices, that's not much of a choice.
But, because you weren't worried about him dating other girls when he was at school. Like, you weren't worried about him cheating on you because there were no other girls.
Right. But I don't know if he worried about me.
No. But that's dating was definitely different. Today, you can be in constant contact with the person you're dating. I mean, anytime, anywhere. Back then, it was entirely different. We didn't have cell phones, had to either be in front of each other, you had to see each other, you had to be with each other, or you had to be on the telephone. And an episode I remember talking about being on the telephone, I was home in my bedroom, and I had a desk there, and I had a phone there, and Linda and I were talking, and we had a very long conversation. We were on Mustman for at least an hour. And my grandmother, my father's mother, came by the door and peeked in and said, "Oi, you're on the phone so long. What's going on? Who are you talking to?" Now, I was a little embarrassed to say I was talking to a girl. But that's what you had to do to be in contact. And if you you may not have seen each other or communicated with each other for a week at a time. So things are much different. And, of course, that's got its pluses and minuses. But I think on the whole, it's probably a good thing.
Well, wait, I have a question, too. How many phones were in the house?
Two.
It was two. Well, that was my question, because when we grew up before cell phones, you know, it was the 80s, 90s, there was no real cell phones yet. You had to worry about, was somebody listening, because there was four or five phones in the house. Did somebody say,
mom always used to try to eavesdrop.
Yeah, because if somebody called and your mom picked up or your dad picked up and they said, "Hey, Danielle, you have a phone call," or whatever, and they could press the mute or whatever and not, or just be quiet and listen in. There were so many options for people to listen and eavesdrop on your phone call. So it sounds like, did you have that?
Well, the first phone conversations I can remember, you had party lines, which means there was another family using the same line as you, and you, I mean, they could do the same thing. They could listen.
I have never heard of this. What is a party line? I know House Party from when Ian is on House Party right now. It's an app where he and his friends can all like FaceTime each other. It's called House Party. But I never heard of a party line before.
Okay, you could, this, You know, most of the time.
What, the 50s, 60s?
This is in the 50s, the early 50s.
Or late 40s.
Maybe late 40s, yeah. You had, I don't know if there could be more than two families, but at least two families sharing a line. And if you picked up the phone and wanted to make a phone call and you heard other people talking, you would hang up and wait until they're... until they were done,
or listen to them.
Right. Yeah, I didn't experience that for very long. So.
I think a different ring, like you know, like it would go da 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 da, and it would, and that would be our thing, and then it could be da da. And that would be the other family.
Wait, were you communicating on Morse code, or was it actually a phone? I do know. There was a difference.
Yeah. Okay, so once you were, when you were dating and everything, and you were in college, Mom, you went at first to
Rider.
Rider mm-hmm. in New Jersey, and then you went to Drexel.
Mm-hmm.
And you graduated from Drexel?
And
So you and Dad were close to each other then?
That we were married.
For you. Yes.
Oh, you were married in college?
No.
No, we married in...
I transferred to Drexel because we got married after my third year of college.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
And after my first year of medical school.
And I found the college all by myself, and we...
What do you mean you found the college? Zeta went there.
But I didn't know girls could go, so I went to the library... And I saw a girl on the cover, and I saw, why are they bothering to put a girl on the cover? And it's all boys. But then I read about it, and I read all the things, and so I applied there, and I got in. And so it was Penn and Drexel right down the street, and we parked in the Drexel parking lot, and he walked his way, and I walked my way.
Okay, so I want to hear about your engagement. How you proposed?
Oh, well, let me.
Do you remember? You don't remember?
Can I just tell you one thing before we get there? Ours was a dancing. Everybody danced the jitterbug.
What? When you were in college?
No, high school.
Oh,
high school. It was so big. By the time I went to college and got married, the twist was coming out. Wow. But we danced every lunchtime. We danced.
At school?
At school.
Oh my God.
After lunch, we danced. And every Friday night, there was a dance at school, and we danced. There was a bandstand on TV, and I would dance with the doorknob.
For life, you practice kissing to the pillow too. Did you?
Well, I didn't have to do that.
Oh God!
She had your dad. Right, she didn't have to.
Thank you. Okay. Before,
can we elaborate on this?
He wasn't your first kiss.
No,
oh, this was before. Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
And we would play spin the bottle, and and make out, but we, you know.
Oh, 7 minutes in heaven, was that a thing?
What's that?
7 minutes in heaven?
I don't know that.
Oh, okay, good.
Oh. You never caught Danielle in 7 minutes in heaven?
No, but I do remember.
Oh, God.
I do remember I had a game of truth or dare. We're going to get into all this, but I do remember I had a game of truth or dare with my friends when I was in middle school in our basement.
Oh, God.
And then we had trashed the basement, so my mom said, we need to go downstairs and clean it. You need to help me. And we went downstairs, and she found all the dares, written on a piece of paper.
Oh, really? Because
it was in a bowl, and you had to pick the dare.
Oh, God.
And I remember being like, oh, it was just a joke. We didn't really do that. And my mom was like, I don't care what you do. Just clean up after yourself.
Oh, my God. No. Did I really say that?
Yeah.
And that's another thing that Ronnie and I are opposite about, I don't think Daddy would say. I can't emphasize enough how much dancing was a part of our life, and how I've always been so sorry that you don't have that now. It was just such a part of our life, such a part of our life. The songs, we knew every song, we loved every song.
Right, and there weren't 600 songs like there are today. It was like the top 10.
Yeah.
And when you say it was cultural, it was. Today, we live in a retirement community, and when they have dinners or some sort of entertainment, and there's dancing present, everybody wants, they're playing the songs of the 50s. And that's what everybody loves. They go there so they can hear this stuff and
we sing along.
I feel like we sing along. Plays Baby Got Back.
Yeah, well, when we get together, honestly, it's just a generation skip because when we get together, it's all 90s music. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, that's what we play.
Yeah, we love it, and we want our kids to know about it too. I mean, the same way my kids probably don't know about your music so much, but I know about your music, and my kids know about our music because in the car, that's what I try to put on when, you know, before they put their own headphones in.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. We have to take one more break.
Okay.
And we'll be right back.
It makes me so happy when I share one of my favorite brands, and the people on our Instagram or listeners of our podcast get just as excited about the brand as I do. And that's what has happened with Modern Gents. Modern Gents' goal is to make it so couples spend their money on travel and experiences and less on a rock on your finger. That's why they created conflict-free, handcrafted, affordable wedding and engagement rings. Also, times like during your pregnancy, your fingers can swell and you can't fit into your regular engagement ring. No problem. Order your size from Modern Gents to wear until your regular ring fits again. And with Valentine's Day coming up, I know that there are so many women out there who have lost their rings and think that they're never going to be able to afford another one and they're so upset about it, or they're waiting just for a new ring. Modern Gents makes it so easy and doable to get a new gorgeous ring. And I promise you, they are gorgeous. You will thank me for going and looking at them. So head over to modgents.com, promo code VDAYMARTINI for 25% off every purchase over $25. That's modgents, modgents.com, promo code VDAYMARTINI for 25% off. Ma, you talked a little bit about getting Dad's pin, going steady.
Yes.
Ma, there's a microphone in front of you. So was that a big thing, right? Like it was. I mean, when I was in high school, I remember wearing your boyfriend's varsity jacket was a big thing.
Yeah.
For you guys, it was once like being pinned, right? That was a thing.
Right.
So can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, Daddy was in a fraternity, and.
By Lambda Phi.
By Lambda Phi.
Lambda, Lambda, Lambda. Revenge of the Nerds.
You don't have to explain.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I do.
Yeah, so I guess we were, after his first year of college, I think then he pinned me.
Oh, boy. Sounds so wrong.
It's very romantic.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep going.
Like World WWF. Yeah. Or is that World Wildlife Federation?
No, WWF.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, it was fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then everybody knew that you weren't available, so like no one would hit on you.
Yeah, that's a shame. Yeah. I don't know why I wanted it so bad. Really, I could have had a lot of fun. Instead, I was sort of lonely.
So you didn't hide your pin ever?
Ever.
No.
Oh, there was a special ceremony for it.
There was a pinning ceremony. Wow. And we were pinned with another couple who got divorced.
That's called swinging now.
Swinging, yeah. Yeah. But I didn't think they would ever get divorced, but they did.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So okay, so do you remember getting engaged or no?
Did you
ask mom's dad for her hand in marriage? Did you go over and talk to him?
No, they begged him to marry.
Adam.
I did not, but I had the sense that it would be okay with both of them.
Uh-huh.
Right.
I don't know. I never asked him. He may have.
Oh, no?
He may have been upset.
Wow.
Yeah, been upset for the next 40 years.
I won't forget being in my office and calling you and talking to you about asking Danielle to marry me. Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
He probably gets you and Gideon mixed up.
No, I was sitting in the office and I called your parents and I had them both on the phone and I said, I told them that I wanted to marry you. Was that okay?
And like she's pregnant.
Not quite yet.
No. But I probably thought I was.
No. Oh, yeah, probably thought you were. Yeah.
All right, so you didn't ask for her hand in marriage. Right, so then you guys got engaged. You had your wedding. And
well, we got engaged, and then...
You were 21, Mom, when you got married?
I was 21, and yep. I finished my third year of college, and I moved into the dorm. I had commuted before then, and I saw a sign up that said rooms available, and I got so excited.
Wait, where?
This was for Ryder. I was in my third year of college, and I saw a sign that said there are rooms available in the dorm. And I went home and started packing.
Oh, because you were living at home.
That was before we were married.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So once you were married, you both lived together at Penn, Dad?
We lived in Bowen Park section of Philadelphia, yeah. Right?
City Line Avenue, like a dumpy apartment.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Everyone was doing
you'd
that.
You'd be interested to know that our first apartment there, $105 a month.
Wow. In Philly.
And worth every penny.
$105 a month.
You should have bought it.
And then, so now in Philly, what do you think that would be? $2,500 a month, probably? $3,500 a month?
I'm sure the neighborhood's still there, but I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, we had fun, too, living in that neighborhood with other friends.
So you would go to school during the day?
Yeah.
And you graduated?
Year. And I graduated.
Okay. But the thing is that Dad then went to, so he was in medical school.
Yes.
Was there any part of you, because, you know, back then it was sort of like you kind of put everything that you wanted to do ever on the back burner. Like there was no real dream of yours, right?
I always wanted to teach.
You always wanted to teach, but at the same time, Dad's being a doctor took the forefront, right? Like
yeah.
You had to put all of that, you know, aside and say, okay, well, he's in medical school and he's going to be a doctor. And I sort of have to just support that, right?
Well, not for a minute did I ever think of not finishing college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like lots of people in my era quit college to get married.
Because they just wanted to be there for their husband and have a traditional type of marriage.
Yeah, and I guess getting an education wasn't as important, but I had a goal to be a teacher.
And you started working after you graduated.
Yeah,
you were married,
and after I graduated.
You started working,
yeah.
You started teaching until we had
Mitchell. A year and a half I taught.
So it was only a year and a half between the time you got married and had your first kid.
No.
You were 23 when you had Mitch.
It was 3 years.
No, you were 23 when you had Mitch. So it was a year and a half.
And so I went for a job interview. This was my first job. My first school went bankrupt. So then I applied. You know how I applied for another job? I went in the Yellow Pages. We had Yellow Pages then with all jobs. And it said school, business schools, and I went down, started with A, and asked if they needed a teacher, and they said yes.
Hmm.
So that's how you get a job.
That's how I got my second job.
That's so crazy. Like, open the Yellow Pages, find a school, and be like, hey, you need a teacher? Yeah, sure, come on.
I was just going to go down and ask if they
need anybody.
And then Dad... So this was now this 1960, what year did you guys get married?
65.
Okay, so this is Vietnam.
Yes.
And you were, were you worried about being deployed to Vietnam?
Yeah, there was some concern, but then they had what's called the what was called the Berry Plan, where if you were in medical school, they would let you finish. excuse me, they let you finish medical school, and then you would be obligated to go in after you finished medical school,
or after
your training, after at least part of your training. So, yeah, that's what happened. I was able to complete my training. We finished in Atlanta, and then I went into the Army for 2 years.
And you went into the Army because you had made that deal that you could finish your training.
Correct.
And then so when you were in the Army, you were traveling. You guys were married, and you traveled to different Army bases, and you were a doctor on these Army bases.
Just one.
Yeah. Well, initially it was just 6 weeks of basic training, and then
in Texas,
that was at Fort Sam, in Texas, San Antonio. And then we went, we got placed on a NSA base that was a listening post in Warrenton, Virginia. I'm sure they made the choice because Warren and Warrenton go together very well.
They probably laughed.
But, Mom, you probably couldn't work during these deployments. No, right. You had to just follow wherever it was going.
I had Mitchell. In Philadelphia.
My older brother is 10 years older than
me. They lived there. We lived there 5 years. But we moved to Atlanta to do his internship. I had a feeling that I needed to live in Atlanta, Georgia.
Always?
No.
Oh, wait,
but when I knew we had to do an internship, I had this feeling about Atlanta, Georgia. And I said, Ronnie, I think we should go to Atlanta, Georgia.
And you loved it there.
And I loved it there. I think, you know, two of the happiest years of my life. It was like all the stars were aligned.
Huh.
Just the nicest people, the nicest weather, the nicest apartment.
Uh-huh.
It just... And Amy was so easy after
your
Mitchell.
Second child.
Yes.
Amy, life coach Amy.
Life coach Amy.
Wait, I want to get off track here for 1 second. Yeah, what was the basic training like? I love hearing these stories.
Yes, well,
You can make it brief, but
we all went in as officers. Okay.
Oh, really?
In the medical, yeah, because
high ranking.
I went in as a major, and you were either a major or a captain when you went in, and they used to try and teach us to march. Well, that was entertainment for the rest of the guys on the post. They would stand up there and laugh at us. And then
why? Because you guys were like medical dorks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. And then we had, I remember they sent us out in groups of two or three with a compass, and in some of the wilds of Texas, and we had a find our way back mm-hmm. from there just with a compass. Well, they didn't trust us very much. There were helicopters above all the time watching. But
you guys weren't Navy SEALs.
Not exactly. No.
They had guys along the way just in case you needed help.
Girls along the way in case you needed help. Puppies.
Yeah, no talent whatsoever.
No, but I love these military basic training stories. I've heard so many of them. They're just, I've never been anywhere near the military, and I love. You know,
except your dad wanted to send you to military school.
Well, military school, but my dad was a Marine.
Right.
And the stories that I heard from him were just mind-boggling. You know, like I could not relate for a second. So mm-hmm. I love hearing stories of anybody who's been in the military and hearing their experiences.
Well, and my mom has her own stories on the base because she got like 17 speeding tickets or something.
Well,
and you hit cars and stuff.
Yes, I did.
What was your, oh yeah, okay.
The first time I got a ticket was I was going 25 and a 15 mile per hour.
There's a 15 mile per hour?
There was a 15. It had been 10, but people were stalling.
Well, that was back when you were riding horses and buggies, right? So it was easier to go 10.
Right.
Yeah, so the police came. So he came up and he gave me a ticket. And I said, thank you. And Mitchell said, I don't think you're supposed to say thank you when someone gives you a ticket.
You were scared, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then.
She didn't have to worry about anything.
No, because I didn't have to worry.
I was the one that would get penalized.
Well, you used to say that to me, too, with all my parking tickets. You'd open up the glove compartment, and I'd have 10 parking tickets. Yeah. And you used to be like, you know, I'm going to be the one to get arrested for this, right?
I remember very well.
So then I went into this driveway, and this car was illegally parked on the circle. Who does that?
This car was an almost brand new Corvette.
Yes, it was. It just happened to me. So anyway, I backed into it.
Oh, no. What year was this? 19 what?
Oh, my God. Now that car is probably worth
maybe 50.
70. Oh, 70s.
Yeah.
70.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah, Amy was already born.
She's
71. She's 71?
No, that's her year.
Amy was 71. Yeah, 72.
Yeah, she's not 71. She was born in 1971.
Right, that's what I said. She's 71. Yeah.
So anyway, I got really angry that this car was parked. So.
Did you hit it on purpose?
No.
Oh.
But I drove away on purpose.
Oh, because so you hit it was a hit and run it to a car.
It was a hit and run because I had
a car,
to take.
It was a classic vet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
oh
but
did you
know,
but there were no security cameras, so you were fine.
No, I wasn't.
Oh, because now you do a hit and run, forget it. There's security cameras everywhere. Okay, so what happened?
Okay, so a neighbor was looking out her window, and she saw me leave, and I think did you say it was a policeman's car?
It was the officer in charge of the MPs at military police.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, I took Mitchell to his horseback riding lesson. And I got back, and I get in the house, and two policemen are coming up my walk.
Oh, boy. So what'd you think?
Hi.
Do you think they were coming to arrest you?
So they said, you know, you get one more ticket and your husband loses his license. And I said, so? Because that's how it is on the base. You're nobody.
Right.
A woman is nobody.
And there were no women in the military then, Dad, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, there were?
Sure.
Oh.
Yeah, we had some on our dispensary. They played on our dispensary softball team.
Oh.
So anyway, I didn't get a third, but he only rode a bicycle on the post, and it was a very small post.
Mm-hmm.
And if we saw movies there, it was a quarter.
Wow,
just a quarter, and if they were lowering the flag or raising the flag, and you drove into the post, you had to get out of your car and salute.
So this is after my whole thing is when Adam and I were in our first year of marriage, we talked about on the podcast that we had a really hard first year of marriage, like really hard. Was there a honeymoon period for you guys, or was it really hard at the beginning also?
No, there was
no honeymoon period. I started my second year of medical school, right? We got married in August. I started a couple weeks later. We had to move in. We had to buy furniture and I went to school, and Mom had a job.
But what I'm saying is that the first year, a lot of people say you have a period where it's just bliss. Where it's just bliss, and you're just, you know, in love, and there's no problems. And did you guys have that, or it was hard at the beginning?
I wouldn't say it was hard. I would say that it was maybe average. Like, it wasn't our best years. It wasn't our worst years.
Okay.
You know,
right.
Well, you guys were busy. You were both in school.
Yeah, we were
right.
both
so
in school.
You were preoccupied.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you maybe weren't together too much.
And you know, we were finally
What? You can be honest.
The pill came out.
Well, I was going to ask about that because I know you were both virgins before you got married.
I have to go take a break. No, you guys can talk.
I should be the one taking a break. No, but I'm serious. I've had a few drinks, so I'm okay. Yeah. So you guys waited till you got married. Everybody did, right? There was no sexual
marriage. Everybody did.
No.
Well, not your mom. She was 13, 14 with all these other guys.
Right.
One guy called me. That song that was out, Poison Ivy.
And how does that go?
Poison Ivy.
Oh, yeah, you hear that song now.
I don't know.
And he called me Poison Ivy because you can look, but you better not touch.
Oh, you were a tease?
No, I wasn't a tease, but I would make out, but.
Oh, boy. Okay, so, but you both waited till you were married, basically, to have, that was standard, right? Like the good girls and the good boys waited till they were married to have sex.
Yeah, there's
a lot of quiet going on.
I don't
over
know.
Here.
I know my dad did.
We didn't have access
he had
to
cows.
Their.
What was he gonna do?
You never know.
To their activity, so we don't know for sure.
Huh? What?
I said we didn't have access to their.
Other people's activities. I see what you're saying. Okay, all right. But I remember you telling me that you got sick on your honeymoon or something. Right, you were sick on the plane or something. You didn't feel
I felt fine on the plane, except I was afraid we were going to crash.
You went to Jamaica.
We went to Jamaica because I had a feeling we should go to. And so I was really nervous we were going to crash, but there were all these nuns on the plane, and I knew God was not going to kill them.
Right. So you were okay with
so
the
then I calmed down once I, you know, okay. Noticed the nuns.
Okay, right. All right, yeah. So you were saying the pill came out. What does that have to do with anything?
Well, then you weren't going to get pregnant.
Was you were worried about, but you already had two kids.
No. When we first got married, the pill came out. Okay. And so Daddy had signs all over the house. Did you take your pill?
You should have done that.
Did you forget to take it?
Always.
Oh, God.
No, I just taped birth, what's it called?
What?
The
birth control test? Pregnancy test?
The pregnancy test. I just taped those all over the house so you could take them on the way.
Well, they didn't have them. They didn't have
rabbits.
Huh?
You had rabbits.
Exactly.
What does that mean, you had rabbits?
You don't know the story? You don't know this?
If rabbits were crossing the road, you were pregnant?
Oh.
What does that mean, rabbits?
Your mom will tell.
They had to, I don't know what they did, but.
It was if, oh man, I don't remember either.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't they put the rabbit died or something?
You put your urine in the rabbit, and if it died, you were pregnant.
That's so sad.
Something like that.
Wait, so did people actually do that?
That's how you did it.
I don't know,
but the first time I went to see the doctor, they said I wasn't pregnant. I said, well, why do I feel like this if I'm not pregnant? I think I'm pregnant. But there was no test, so I had to go back again. And that was Mitchell.
And it was different then because, like, did you go every month to get checked when
you
were pregnant? Oh, you did. What were they checking for? Because they didn't have ultrasounds.
It's true.
Right? Like, there was nothing to check because they weren't, I mean,
They checked your blood pressure.
Your weight.
Your weight,
of course, right? You got yelled at for your weight, right? Didn't you? If you weren't, like, a certain weight,
oh,
you would get yelled at.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
They would say, what, you were supposed to gain 20 pounds in your whole pregnancy, right?
Honest to God.
Oh, my God. They would have killed me.
I said, one day I'm going to faint on the table.
Because you weren't eating because you wanted to maintain.
I didn't eat all day.
Because you were going to get a check.
Then I get on the table and they check me in, and then I'd go home, but I'd stop at the candy mm-hmm. thing, and every time I'd get a Milky Way because that was my favorite candy. Mm-hmm. And then Daddy and I would go out for for a Philly cheeseburger.
Cheesesteak.
And that, so those were my calories for the week.
Oh, that was my calories for a snack.
Yeah.
When I was pregnant.
But I think then they did go up to 30 pounds.
Oh. Amen.
Yeah, they very went generous. Up to 30 pounds by Amy.
But you had no way of knowing. I mean, for now, you know, now you can, you know, there's all these tests of, do you have, you know,
right.
you know, are you, do you have diabetes?
Right.
Do you have, but then it was just like, there was none of that. You just went in and you got checked for whatever.
Honest to God.
So in some ways it was less stressful.
It was, because until you gave birth, there were a lot of things you didn't know, including what was the sex of the baby.
Right. And then, Dad, were you in the room when Mom had, when she gave birth?
Sort of.
Well, you
yeah,
were probably
was
allowed
in
because
out.
You were a doctor, right?
Yes. Yeah. I don't think they did it routinely.
Tell them I was what
kind
happened.
Of, I was kind of in and out. It was a little nerve-wracking.
He was nervous because he knew too much.
Right, he was.
He knew all the things that could go wrong, and he kept leaving the room.
Because mostly men weren't even allowed in there.
They were not.
Because he was a doctor, he was allowed in.
To tell you the truth, I think they let too many people in now.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I think it's exhausting. There's germs.
Right.
And then they let all these people in.
But did you want Dad in there, or you didn't care?
No, I wanted him there. Mm-hmm. But my labor was only 6 hours.
Mm.
So he went in and out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then my labor with Amy was an hour and a half, and then with you was an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And you were a breech.
Is it true that you had me because you were unsatisfied with the two children before you'd had before?
Yes.
I tell you, Danielle, if you had been our first child,
you never would have had any others.
We may have had just one child.
Right.
That's not true at all.
well, that's because I'm more like you,
we
Mom.
We had to relearn parenting after
when
Danielle came.
Oh, right. She was so cute.
No,
oh,
but I was difficult. But, all right, well, we're going to talk about that.
Not as difficult as Mitchell.
Well, not as a little kid, but he was an easier teenager than I was.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, we're going to talk about all of that. So we're going to end this right now. We're going to come back in for the second segment. And so everybody make sure that you tune in next week for part two of Linda and Ron and our Valentine's Day episodes.
Oh.